Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room. This is the midweek edition. Ryan Green and Rob Mish here to talk UNLV with you. We got football. We got hoops. We're talking all of that today.
Deep in the heart of Texas. How about that?
You bring it every week.
Had to bring some kind of different song, huh? So that's where they're headed.
That's where UNLV is going to be, and it will be their toughest game of the season, hands down, as they head to face TCU, who is 7-0, ranked 6th in the BCS. Coming off a huge victory, 38-7 over BYU.
At BYU, man, that was impressive.
Yeah, and it was never even close. They scored 14 early, and it was over.
Was it the same kind of foot speed we saw that Florida State slapped on the Cougars?
Yep, exactly. Basically exposing BYU as a not-so-fast team all over again.
Yes.
So, and probably sending them to the Las Vegas Bowl for their fifth straight berth. Would you be shocked?
Merry Christmas.
Would you be shocked at all? I'm sure the Vegas Bowl is begging for Utah at this point, but anyway, UNLV's got TCU this weekend. Let's start talking about that, because TCU, this is an interesting game, because I don't think anybody's really expecting UNLV to go in there and win. I know neither of us probably are, but the line on this game opened up at 31 points, went up to as high as I believe 36.5, got down to 35, and that's where it's kind of leveled off at, but. So obviously people are expecting big things out of TCU. The question is this, though. You know, if TCU comes out and plays like it did against BYU, 35 is going to be nothing. You know, but you know, is this team due for a little bit of a letdown to start a game? Does the buzz of this one not stack up to the BYU game and maybe make them come out a little sluggish? I mean, I think you know that they can win this one on talent alone, but how focused do you think this team is to get that BCS berth? Because not only do they have to win, but they got to win impressively if they want to hold off Boise State for that at-large BCS berth.
Well, that's the thing. They have to do it in style. They know that. Let's face it, they're playing a weak team coming in on their own turf, so... I think the situation is right for a perfect storm for UNLV just to get clobbered.
Yeah.
The point spread is right around, 33, 34, 35, 36 points, hovering right around there. TCU is averaging 34 a game. So you can read into that and think that, the wise guys who make that line just might be looking at a shutout here.
Like a 42-0 game.
And I'm looking at a shutout, too. I'm thinking maybe it's going to be 34-0, 37-0. And I bet you this is going to be the first UNLV shutout since November 8, 2003. San Diego State here, and Sam Boyd gave him a goose egg, 7-0.
See, now I like this. I like the potential shutout call. I'm not going to agree with it just because I think UNLV's offense is good enough to score on TCU's backups, who they probably will see, like they did last year.
Sure.
But you're right. I don't think this one's going to be anywhere near close. I guess instead of digging too deep into this game, you look at UNLV's schedule after they play TCU. They got three games left. Realistically, they're probably 3-6. Three games left. You have San Diego State and Colorado State here, and then you got to travel and face Air Force. I mean, the players still seem to think that 6-6 is a possibility. I don't think you're going to find too many people out there who want to jump on that bandwagon.
Or who would even in any remote way consider this a bowl team.
No.
Going back to TCU, though, some stats that really stand out. You know what they do best, Ryan, is defense. They're number five in the country in total defense. So that's why I know UNLV is proficient. They can move the ball. They can throw the ball. Heck, they have a – they're nationally ranked in the top 25 or something in passing, top number 30, something
big
like that.
Big plays is what they specialize in. Yeah.
Right, and so I think I just think TCU is going to have enough to negate that and stop whatever UNLV thinks it can do or wants to do. So I think it's going to be a long day for UNLV Pigskin fans.
Well, and the two guys who are going to kind of be in the spotlight on defense or on offense for UNLV, it's not going to be Omar Clayton, it's not going to be Ryan Wolf, it's going to be Evan Marshall and Matt Murphy, the two starting tackles. Evan Marshall went against Jerry Hughes, who is TCU's All-American candidate, maybe even Heisman candidate at defensive end, who has 9.5 sacks this season, had 15 a year ago. Evan Marshall is going to be the one lining up against him, and talk to him about that yesterday. You can read about that tomorrow on LasVegasSun.com/Rebels. And, talked about how he watched that film from last year. He gave up two sacks to Jerry Hughes, and he said the one thing he was disappointed in was that he didn't think he played physical enough in that game. He thinks he tried to maybe be a little too technique-y, whatever, however you want to word that right. with him.
Finesse.
And instead of just brute strength, which is kind of how you probably have to negate speed like that guy has.
Yeah, right. By the way, I had the number down here. UNLV is number 27 in the country in passing at 262 yards a game. And, you know, I just think this is one of those games that, you know, we've talked all year about how, boy, take the over, take the over, take the over. I don't think in this one you take the over.
No. I agree. And, you know, last year it was 44-14 at Sam Boyd Stadium. Pretty much the same TCU team. Not a lot different this year. The same two cornerbacks, same two defensive ends. You got, and it's a very similar pass defense. UNLV moved the ball a little bit last year, but again, they faced the backups for about a quarter and a half. And here's the question. If TCU gets up 35-0 early, do they let off the gas pedal? Do they play the starters for three quarters? Do they play them for three and a half quarters? Do they go for those style points? A lot of people don't seem to think so because Gary Patterson's traditionally not that kind of coach. But, you know, you got a BCS bowl on the line.
You do. And you know, when the motor starts turning and you're going to the end of the third quarter, the fourth quarter starts, and you're looking up at the opponent's score and it's zero, you're going to want to keep that zero there. That's great motivation for a defense, whether it's first or second stringers. I got a feeling we're going to see the starters play quite a bit as that shutout possibility looms, you know, even more realistic. I think they're going to go for the jugular.
Boy, you're dead set on the Rebels not scoring a point this weekend.
I am. Yeah, it's just a huge feeling for some reason. I just think this is an awful, awful game for them, and you know, hopefully they can recover from it.
Especially considering you go from playing the worst team in not only the Mountain West, but one of the worst teams in the FBS, to going to playing one of the top five teams in the country.
Wow.
It's quite an extreme.
It's a big dichotomy, and, you know, it's also interesting. You know, what TCU does best on offense is they run the ball, but they don't have really one particular runner who is best at it.
They got so many guys.
They're going to come at you so many different ways. Joseph Turner averages 62 a game. That's their high. And it just starts there, you know, with the different variety of runners they're going to attack UNLV with. So I think it's just going to be a really tough day for that Vegas defense.
I agree. Well, let's flip the script and talk about something maybe a little more positive for UNLV fans, and that's the basketball squad. Who they're about 2 weeks into practice now in the fall. We're about 10 days, a little less than 2 weeks away from the exhibition opener on November 10th.
Washburn. And November 7th, they have a closed-door scrimmage at Long Beach State with second-year coach Dan Monson running the 49ers. So that'll give them a real good test, and it'll be really refreshing for the Rebels to actually play against someone else and bang some other bodies and actually see what their four low post guys can do against other competition. Carlos Lopez, Bryce Masamba, Matt Shaw, and I'm leaving it hanging.
I know you want to talk about Darius Santee.
Of course.
Now, that's what I want to ask you about. You've seen him a ton at practice. You know, a lot of UNLV fans remember last season where he came on strong early and then just kind of shied away more and more as the season went on.
He lost his way. He lost his confidence.
Lost his
and
edge.
Then that led to
little edge he had.
The spiral was pronounced, and assistant coach Lou Hill and Lon Kruger talked about how he just, you know, it just, that happens to a young guy. It's his first year in D1 ball, and he started losing some of the strategic, you know, some of the stuff they wanted to do on offense. And, boy, next thing you know, you're on the bench, and you're not starting. You're not even playing two of the final three games. Joe Darger's back in at center, and Kruger had to just blow up all of his low post plans. So it's a much different feeling in practice the last few weeks with actual low post players. You know, like we just mentioned, there's four of them. And Santee, Lou Hill says, is a much different player. He's facing the rim, which is much more comfortable for him. He's the one Rebel who will most frequently dunk.
Yeah.
And you need that finish. You need that power finish. Oscar Belfield said, hey, you need to send that message to the other team. You need to send them, you know, that you're playing with power and you're going to continue to keep that momentum going. So all that kind of wraps up into what a lot of people out there see as a much different Darius Santee.
Well, let's talk about the newcomers because you mentioned Carlos Lopez in there. Of the newcomers, who's really stood out to you the most so far?
Well, it's been tough because Lopez is still trying to regain strength. He lost 30 pounds in France over the summer at a tournament. Caught a stomach bug, and you can see it every day that his energy just isn't where it should be. And the coaches always tell him after practice, eat, 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 you know, because he's got a long way to go to make that up. And that's tough in your first season of D1 ball. Anthony Marshall has been looking very good, although he's been bothered by a right hamstring. It looks like he's been 100% the past day or two, but we just haven't seen him at full speed. So it's not really fair to assess what he's been doing. However, it looks like he might be the best dribbler on the team.
Yeah.
That remains to be seen, but he's got some innate moves that just lose people in a hair. He's real fun to watch. Justin Hawkins has been the one guy who is, he's been guarding Derek Jasper, and that's a tough load.
Yeah, and that'll get him ready pretty fast.
He's learning a lot real fast, and you know what? He's not shying away. He tries to stay 2-3 steps ahead of Derek, but he says that, man, it's tough because Jasper is 5-6 steps ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
Always thinking, always moving, and that's been a real good battle. And Justin Hawkins is holding his own, and he's shooting very well. So, you know, while those guys might not be getting a lot of playing time, you know, they're pushing the starters, and they're making themselves known.
Who do you think is going to surprise people most when they show up at the MAC on the 10th for that exhibition opener and the 14th for the opener? The one guy who maybe people aren't expecting to look as good as you think he's going to look.
It hit me the other day in practice that I have a funny feeling that Matt Shaw is going to be far more valuable to this team than anybody right now can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
He just has a savvy inside-outside game. He you've seen that. He plays with a growl.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what this team needs. It needs to be meaner, and that's going to start with him. You know, on the boards, after we saw him in the first look, you know, he had some pretty good offensive moves. He's got a nice 15-foot shot, but he told me that, you know what, it's also up to him to grab the defensive rebounds, to do the dirty work, to set picks, to do all the behind-the-scenes stuff that doesn't show up on the stat sheet. So I think you're going to see a very complete player, and I think he's going to contribute a lot.
All right. Well, final thought of the week before we get out of here.
You know, final thought of the week is, I don't know if anybody has seen The Amazing Race 15, but there are a couple there's a couple Harlem Globetrotters who are taking part in that CBS TV show. It's on Sunday nights at 8. This would be Nathaniel Big Easy Lofton and Herbert Flight Time Lang.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are important because they were very tight with Chris Richardson, the former Rebel who everybody knew as Flash. In fact, they were known as the Three Amigos on the Globetrotters. It was a tragic death that, in Tokyo last December, Flash passed away, and it still affects these guys. And it's really neat on the show because they periodically pay tribute to Flash with either his initials on a shirt or a necklace. And so a reader actually told me today that sent one of the guys an email, and they basically did that because it's their small little way they can just say hello to Flash's friends and family and to keep his memory alive.
All right. Mine, one last note. If you are a UNLV football fan heading down to Fort Worth, you're dedicated if you do. But if you are and you get there Friday night, head up to suburban Dallas, South Lake Carroll High School, where they will be holding, I believe it's a fundraiser for former linebacker Bryce Saldy, UNLV linebacker who was injured in a skateboarding accident this offseason, is still in the hospital, still in rehab, recovering from the head injury from that. But head up to South Lake Carroll High School. I'm sure you can Google it, find directions, very easy. Show your support up there if you are heading up in that direction.
Is there going to be a game Friday night?
A game, too.
Cool.
So this is all pregame festivities. So
you can't beat Friday night football in Texas.
Especially at South Lake Carroll, trust me. For Rob Misch, especially at South Lake
Carroll. This is Ryan
Green. Trust me. This has been The Rebel Room. We'll talk to
Rob
you
Misch
next week.
This is Ryan Green. This has been The Rebel Room. We'll talk to you next week.